Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week 15 of the NFL season, and for a lot of you, it is the beginning of fantasy playoffs. It is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. The show is brought to you in part by our friends at Giovanni's of Wilmer. For the next hour, we're going to be talking all things NFL Week 15. Our goal is, as always, to help you win your leagues. All right, let's introduce who's on the show. Tell me about your loon season, and if you don't want to tell me about your loon season, tell me about your other seasons. Go ahead, Lyle.
Yeah, I'm going to just move on to the other seasons. Six straight losses in the loon, but I'm doing well in the Dynasty League and got a bye, so I'm hoping to make it to a finals there. And then made the playoffs in another league. I had an epic playoff ending on that Dallas Cowboys muff punt.
Ah.
The 2 points that Cincinnati was awarded for that fumble cost me a playoff spot in a different league. So I was a little bit upset on Monday night.
Jack.
Well, Lyle, I'll see your six straight losses and raise you to eight straight losses, because I went 3-3 and then went on an eight-loss run to go ahead and finish pretty much last. But I am competitive in the other leagues. I've actually got a bye week in a league, believe it or not. First-round bye. I don't know how that happened. But, yeah, not doing great. Neither are the Falcons, and that's just kind of my story. But you know what? I had fun.
Justin, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm gonna own up to everything. I have three redraft leagues, two dynasties. In the Loon League, my worst league. I didn't draft well, and I got no one to blame but myself. It was a bad year, and I'm rooting for old Carter. He's had 3 seconds in a row. I hope he finally gets first. In my other two, the bad luck monster just violated me in ways that can't be described and shouldn't be spoken about in public. I have one league where I have the most points scored in the league. I have by over 250 points more than the next closest guy the most points against. The team is stacked. It's unbelievable. And I ended up with the worst record in the league because of that. So that is just bad luck. But I did draft a great team. And a similar story in my other redraft league. Not the most points scored, but I'm definitely top half. But definitely most against. And that's a league where Jack had some bad luck as well. And my two dynasties, I did great. I got a bye in my longest running one. And in the one I'm in with these fellas, I don't have a bye, and I'm off to a bad start after that San Fran game. So I'm going to need the rest of my guys, which has happened all year long, to pick up the slack over the weekend.
Well, I have a bye in the Loon League and a bye in Purple Pride. And did make the playoffs in our Dynasty League, and I'm one of the last two in our 16-man guillotine. So this is one of the rare good seasons for this chair, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. So anyway, well, let's take a look at the injury report, what is happening for this week. Justin Herbert dinged up. He's tough, man. He's going to fight through this, and I think he's going to play this weekend. Drew Lock in your super deep leagues, he is not going to be playing. And so it's going to be Tommy DeVito again. Derek Carr also still out with a hand issue and a concussion issue. Going on to running backs, Jonathan Brooks, sad story. Hurt the same knee that he tore the ACL of the same knee where he tore the ACL in college. Out, of course, for the year, probably out for next year. Bucky Irving shows up on the injury report. He is, that's a mystery right now, what's going to happen with Bucky Irving. Kenneth Walker still on the injury report. Not sure where that is going to go. Moving on to wide receivers. Boy, this list is monstrous for wide receivers. And so you're going to want to keep an eye, of course, tomorrow. But names like CeeDee Lamb, Ladd McConkey, Mike Evans, George Pickens, he's trending to outs. Malik Nabers, a lot of these guys on there. I think most of them will play. But again, tomorrow's injury report, a big deal. As far as tight ends go, Evan Engram, David Njoku, and Will Disley. Njoku is Disley's going to be out for sure, but Njoku trending not to play. We have Thursday night football. Lyle, the Rams, from out of nowhere, they're 8-6. Is this a team to be contended with come playoff time?
Maybe. They're like in every... I mean, maybe if they could win the division and get some home games out of it, I'd be a little more worried about what the Rams could do. They beat the Vikings earlier in the year, but Philly kind of had their way with them as well. So as far as like playing against the big boys, they've done all right. But that offense is much more scary when they have all three, Williams, Kupp, and Nacua, and they got all three rolling right now. So are you scared of them? No, but I think I'd rather have the Seattle Seahawks or the Arizona Cardinals in the playoffs.
Right. Jack, Debo Samuel whining about not getting the ball, and then he can't catch the ball when they throw him the ball. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's a pretty normal thing. He literally was complaining about not having any targets, same as what A.J. Brown's doing. And then as soon as they target the guy across the middle, which would have been a touchdown to win the game, or at least to take the lead, I mean, it literally bounces off of his abdomen. So, you know, it's been the year of the running back, and San Fran has burned through him more than anybody, and they just last night got to the cusp of being eliminated. I think if they had, like, a Bijan Robinson healthy all year, San Fran would still be in the playoff hunt pretty easily.
Justin, the Niners, believe it or not, there's some call-outs for Shanahan's head. And is it going to come to that in San Francisco?
If I'm 20-some of the other NFL franchises right now, I'm hoping it comes to that, and I scoop him up immediately. It's the same record, same tune. San Francisco is coached phenomenally. Shanahan is an offensive genius and schemer, and they just get destroyed and ravaged by injuries. Season after season, they're as cursed as Vikings fans, except they've actually won a few Super Bowls in their past. But that's all it is. They can't stay healthy, and you have guys in and out of the lineup. It's really hard to get a rhythm going, to get continuity. And, you know, were it not for the coach, I think this team would have three or four more losses for sure. I mean, they'd be doing terrible. They're already struggling. But it's an injury thing for me, in my opinion.
All right, we will come back. It is time for Daily Fantasy Strategy for Week 15. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on The Loon, and if you miss any part of the show, go online, 941theloon.com. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're going to talk some Daily Fantasy Strategy for Week 15. Congrats to Justin Havemeyer, who torched the rest of us in our Loon $5 entry last week. We'll see what happens this week. Let's talk about quarterbacks for the Week 15 slate. Jack, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to take a page out of the old John Jennings book and probably going to roll some Jameis Winston. You know, the guy's, he's getting a lot of opportunities, and I love this matchup coming against Kansas City, who is not great against opposing quarterbacks, and Kansas City's on the road, so we're going back to Cleveland. Jameis Winston has put together some really good games. His two games against Pittsburgh, even, he did better than the average quarterback. So I like him to still stay at it. And honestly, for what are we paying, $5,500 for him? He's between Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. So I'll take Jameis Winston.
I like it. Lyle.
I got two choices. I like what I did last week. Joe Burrow, so I could stack him with Chase. He's at $7,300 this week. If you want to save a little bit, I do like Kyler Murray, $6,000 against New England. He's been pretty good at home. He's had one real clunker a few weeks back against Chicago, of all teams. But I think he's finally starting to click, and McBride is getting targeted, obviously, about 15 times a game. So I like Kyler Murray to triple up on $6,000.
Justin, what do you say?
I like the Kyler call. I got Tua, old Tua Tagovailoa. He's been on a heater, and he's still fairly affordable. If you want a guy that's a little bit cheaper, you want to go anti or against what everyone else is going to have, I call it a gut feeling. The matchup's fantastic. If he's going to have a game, it's going to be this week. I'm going Kirko Chains. I'll take a shot on Kirko. Especially with the ability to stack with Mooney down the road.
I did not expect you to say that. I was going to...
Man, that feels so good to hear. That feels so good. Thank you, Justin. You made my day.
My cheap play, and the guy who I thought you were going to pick, Justin, is Bryce Young at $5,300 going up against a woeful Dallas defense. And I like him for GPPs. I don't think there's going to be a ton of play there. And so otherwise, my other pick would be, I agree with you on Tua. Tua has just quietly been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and what, $6,100? I like that. I don't know if I'm stacking Bryce Young with anybody other than Adam Thielen, and I don't know how good I feel about that. How about running backs? What do you got, Lau?
Stick with those Carolina Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, 26 carries last week. I think he had 31 touches last week. No longer does he have any competition in that backfield, unfortunately, because of that bad injury for their backup. But he's just a volume play, and Dallas is terrible. Like you said, not only can they not stop the pass, they're not good at stopping the run either. So Chuba's going to get his 25 touches this week. He's a 6,500.
For sure. Justin?
Yeah, I like the Chuba call. Absolutely. I like chasing, you know, the highest over-unders of the week when putting my lineups together whenever possible. But I can't avoid Derrick Henry. I'm building my lineups around him this week. That matchup's unbelievable, coming off a bye. I think they use him in this game, and it doesn't take a lot to build a good lead. And then for values, I like Rico Dowdle, because Carolina has played better on defense, but they still really struggle against the run. And he's, you know, kind of a rising, ascending player in fantasy right now, and his usage by the Cowboys. And if you really, really need to save yourself some money on the opposite end there, you could throw a Justice Hill in, because I can see Baltimore getting up big by half and Justice Hill getting a lot of run late in this game.
Jack, what do you got running backs?
Yeah, I like the Justice Hill on a flex play. For DFS, I think you got to anchor this with some Bijan Robinson, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Chase Brown between 7 and 7,600. I really like Bijan this week because I think the Falcons have to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. So I like him to maybe break the receiving touchdown slump that Kirk's been on. And then cheap for $5,000. I had him last week. I'm putting him in my flex this week. I've got Isaiah Davis with the Jets going to Jacksonville. He had 10 carries for 40 and a touchdown, and he had 6 targets in which he had 3 receptions for 27 yards. That's a great for $5,000.
Yeah, I forgot to bring up Breece Hall in the injury report. He's trending to not play, and in all honesty, why would you play him at this point if you're the Jets? My guy,
well, John,
yeah.
It also, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, if Kenneth Walker doesn't play, old Zach Charbonnet or Shavano or Chardonnay or whatever these experts want to pronounce his name, if Walker's out, you got to go and drop somebody and get that dude in your lineup, because now he's chalk for 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. And speaking of Charbonnet, I think he went for like 175 against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are not good against the run at all. This week they face Ramondre Stevenson and the Patriots. I don't know what I'm expecting, but I really like the matchup. And Stevenson is $5,900. I can see this being a low scoring game and a lot of feeds to Ramondre Stevenson. And I also like Drake May for that matter this week too. How about wide receivers, Justin? What do you got?
Okay, so I threw Darnell Mooney in there because he was less in London, and he has more big plays for the Kirko chain stack, but I like him even without that. I also like Khalil Shakir this week. I think he is also a good play. And then my last one is, again, chasing the value on the Panthers right now. Adam Thielen is still pretty affordable, and he's a reception monster right now, and you know, he's only a couple games back, so he's still pretty fresh. So I'll go with Thielen. Are you going to get the big plays? No. But you could still end up with 10 for 115 and a couple touchdowns.
I was waiting patiently for somebody to attack that Buffalo Lions game. It's got the over-under's 54, and none of us have said anything about him yet. Jack, what do you got for wide receivers?
Well, I love the Khalil Shakir take. I think Buffalo's got to utilize those wide outs. So, you know, if he's too much and you only got a few bucks left, take a flyer on some Curtis Samuel or somebody like that, because when you play in Detroit, you got to bring out all the guns. That said, I'm going to stay cheap, and I'm going to go for the value. If Darnell Mooney's healthy, he's in. If not, I'm going Ray-Ray McCloud. Just going to pick on Vegas with Atlanta, you know, in what should be a good weather game. And again, a game where this is probably Kirk's final hoorah. If they don't win this game, I think Kirk's done. And remember, guys, it's the NFC South. Atlanta could still be hosting a playoff game. And three of the last four games are against teams that suck. So all we have to do is win out and hope Tampa loses one. That's it. And that's not hard to do.
Lyle, wide receivers.
Ray was on my list. Thielen's on my list. I like Jerry Jeudy still, especially if Njoku is out. The game script for this game for Cleveland is pass, pass, pass. That's all they've been doing even in close games. So I like Jeudy at 6,200. I also like Jackson Smith and Jigba. They're playing Green Bay, who's an ordinary defense, but Smith and Jigba's he's their number one guy now. Lockett's not. Metcalf's not. Well, he's getting double teamed all the time. But Njigba's been the one that's benefited. He's 6,300 as well.
I like the big playability of Jameson Williams in that Lions-Bills game. He's at 5,600. Jalen Waddle has turned into a thing again. He's at 5,700. And keep an eye on that injury report, because if Cedric Tillman is a goal for that game, he is only 4,900. And I like running him out there. Jameis seems to really have a thing for Cedric Tillman. All right, let's move on to tight ends. Jack, what do you got?
Well, I like Jonnu Smith at 5,400. He's the most expensive tight end on the list, in my opinion, that I would want to go out and spend money for. A couple of cheaper options. One that I picked up in a couple leagues, and I'm going to try to – hold on. I'm trying to find him again on the list. I just had him. Here he is. Okay, for $2,600, ladies and gentlemen, you can get you some Stone Smart. Usually – when you get stoned, you're less smart, unless you're one of our mutual friends who creates business ideas out of thin air. But if you go some Stone Smart, I think he's going to get some targets. Disley's done, it looks like. I mean, I like him a lot for $2,600, man. A good catching threat against Tampa Bay at home with the Chargers.
Yeah, Stone Smart's my guy too. Lyle?
That's a good one. Like I said before, if you're playing Kyler, you're going to play McBride, and he's at $6,000. He's had 45 targets last 4 weeks or 3 weeks, so you know, he's not a bad play. I still like Noah Gray. He got four catches for, I think, 30-some yards or something like that last week. He's had the two touchdown games, but he's had at least four catches, four straight weeks. He's at $3,200 for Kansas City.
All I can
and
think
you know
of.
What, Lyle?
Go ahead.
Kansas can't win this game 19-17. They're going to have to put up points.
All I think of with Noah Gray is when, Justin, you saw his picture and said it looks like he's been licking telephone poles. What do you got for tight ends, Justin?
I kid you not, I have Noah Gray also. I like him this week. I think Kelsey, you know, they continue to preserve him. If not, though, I also like Zach Ertz, who I think is about, you know, $4,000-ish, if I'm not mistaken, on DraftKings. Ertz is a good play, good matchup this week, and he's been very steady.
If he plays and you need and you have too much money, it's David Njoku. Otherwise, I like Stone Smart. I like Noah Gray. I think Zach Ertz is fine. I draw the line at, I hate even saying this, GPP only, Chig Okonkwo at $2,900 against the Bengals. We will come back and talk about the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. It's a fantasy football foursome on the Loon. Hey, why don't you take a break from cooking tomorrow and go see our friends over at Giovanni's Pizza in Wilmer. Take and bake if you want to save some for the afternoon and evening games, or just have some delivered, or they'll just make it right in front of you. Locally owned, great options, more options than, well, let's just call them the big pizza guys. Just great flavors and fresh ingredients. It is the place to go. Call Giovanni's Pizza of Wilmer now. And like I said, take a break from cooking. It's 235-5555 online at giovannisofwilmer.com. Time for the United States Marine Corps Waiver Wire Warriors. Pretty thin week, fellas, but there's some plays out there for the playoffs. Let's start with quarterbacks, Jack.
I think quarterback is probably our deepest area. For sure. You're looking at who's available in 50% or more, right? Yeah, so for a week, for a play this week, I don't mind Aaron Rodgers. He's available in 57% of leagues. Got a really good matchup coming up this week. And, I mean, the number one guy that should be, if you need a quarterback and this guy's available in 80% of leagues, Jameis Winston is a fantasy points scorer. He scored, you know, he averaged almost 14 points against the Steelers defense. Now he's got Kansas City coming to him. Kansas City defense hasn't been bad, but they're not the Steelers. I like Jameis Winston to have a pretty good game this week.
Lyle, what do you got, quarterbacks?
Jameis is at the top of my list as well. There's only two other guys I'd probably even consider. One is Geno Smith, and he's just kind of ordinary. If you're looking for 12, 15 points, I'd take him. If you're looking for a little more upside, I'd go Drake May. He's available in 85% of leagues. Arizona defense is getting better. But if you really look at May's production, it's been pretty steady since he's been put into the lineup. If you're looking for 15 fantasy points in a standard setup, or maybe even 20 in a 6-point touchdown league or something like that, I think you could get that this week from Drake May.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Drake May train. I think that's solid play. Like I said, he was getting it done with his legs. And if in a 2-quarterback scenario or a super flex league where quarterbacks are thin, I'm not afraid to play Bryce Young. I wish he had more weapons to catch the ball, but I like Bryce Young against Dallas, and he's available in 95% of ESPN leagues. Running backs, Lyle, what do you see?
This has been the grind all year. We've been talking about it off air that just running backs are hard to find because, as Jack said, they're in demand, but I think it's just been less injuries too. So if you're just looking for this week, it might be Sincere McCormick. He's available in 70% of leagues. It's a volume play. He's going to probably get 15 touches, although I think Alexander Mattison is slated to come back this week. I still think McCormick's going to run the ball because they really don't have anything to play for, and I think they're going to try to showcase him kind of like they did with Zamir White last year and try to see if he's something they can build around for next year.
Yeah, he's been named the starter. Even if Mattison and Zamir are fine, he has been named the starter. I like Sincere McCormick. Jack, what do you got?
Yep, I do too. Okay, I'll give you two. Tyler Allgeier, it's a volume play with Vegas also. I like him to just be able to exploit what's out there. I think like all the other Atlanta Falcons, he's angry and pissed, and hopefully he runs really well. So I think if you're in desperate mode for a running back, and then someone I think you got to keep your eye on, maybe get on your bench now, is Kendre Miller in New Orleans. If Kamara doesn't play, he's the RB1. And even when Kamara did play last week against the Giants, where Kamara was a huge bust, Miller got the only touchdown, I think, of the whole game. So he's already kind of eaten into the carry share there. I like them to – I don't know what New Orleans' motivation is for continuing to bring a banged-up Alvin Kamara out onto the field at this point. So I like Miller to be a garbage-time running back, somebody that should probably be a starter here pretty soon.
Yeah, McCormick and Miller were my first two guys, and then it's the Jets. Isaiah Davis and Braylon Allen. I think Allen would have got you about 12 points in PPR. Isaiah Davis, maybe about 9 if you are really skimped on running back. Braylon Allen's available in 57% of leagues. Isaiah Davis is available in 94% of leagues. But I think you could run one of those guys out there as a flex if you're just decimated and trying to win a toilet bowl, something like that. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Well, I think wide receivers where it gets a little more sketchy, even with all the volume at wide receiver. I like some of the running backs better because now we're talking real dart throws. I'm going to say Elijah Moore with Cleveland, available in about 80% of leagues. Again, it's because of the volume. When Winston throws it 40 times a game, you want somebody on the other side of that, and Elijah Moore is a really good candidate for that. And then the other one I would look at is good old Ray McCloud, available in 85% of leagues. And the guy's been dominating. I mean, he's been breaking open routes. If you remember when he was special teams in San Fran, he was super fast. I mean, that's when his speed kind of got showcased. Well, he's still being super fast, but he's keeping that going and making himself open for these busted plays Atlanta has. And he's been able to take advantage. So, again, it's a desperation mode play here, but Ray McCloud.
I don't know if it's desperation, Jack. I mean, this is a guy we've been sleeping on, at least in PPR leagues. He's gotten double-digit points in 5 of his last 6 games. I mean, I dropped him in our Dynasty League, and what a foolish thing that was to do. Lyle, what do you got for wide receivers?
Yeah, Ray is on my list. Just make sure you go and get Adam Thielen. I think he's about 55% owned. I know he kind of breaks that 50% threshold, but make sure he's picked up. I like Cedric Tillman, though, too, if he's available or if he suits up. He's available in 60% of leagues. If not, I definitely liked what Jack said about his backup or whatever. That if Tillman doesn't go, that you could pick him up. And still, Westbrook Akine, I think you should pick him up. He's available in 60% of leagues. I know he didn't get his touchdown last week, but this is a team that's not going to be in – they're going to be in chase mode all the time. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. And I think Westbrook Akine gets back in the end zone this week.
Yeah, I like Tillman. I like Westbrook Akine. I like all the guys you brought up. Big play guys. I mean, you are just really hurting and need some big play action. Marvin Mims, can't believe I'm saying that name. And again, we're talking 16-team desperation plays here. And the Westbrook Akine call is good. I think Xavier Leggett had a bad week last week. I just love picking on that Dallas defense because they're so bad. So you could consider him. Tim Patrick blew up last week. Is he really a thing? I don't know. I don't think Goff throws the ball enough for me to roster Tim Patrick. Lastly, maybe Brandon Cooks. I think he got in the end zone last week. Ugh, yuck.
Pickens in your lineup and just let him roll. They're going to be, I think, a pretty good defense these 2 weeks.
Lyle.
Washington's available in about half of leagues. If they're available, you could scoop them up for their matchup this week. Otherwise, if you're able to hold on to a defense, Tampa Bay might be the one to hang on to. They have in week 16 and 17, Dallas and Carolina. So that just might be something you want to look for the next 2 weeks.
And if you're in a psychopath league, week 18, they're in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Psychopath league. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't have a week 18 game in your fantasy football league, for goodness sake. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, but the Bengals are available in 54% of leagues. And, well, the only reason I would tell you to throw that putrid defense out is because Will Levis is awful. It's so bad I can't even play the theme song anymore. The Will Levis experiment, he will be a backup somewhere next year. That's where he belongs, or in the UFL or whatever leagues are going on, XFL, something like that. You could try desperation to throw the Bengals out there against Will Levis. I mean, these guys they're all playing for their careers on defense. That's how bad the Bengals D is. All right. After this, we will come back, take a quick break, and come back with Trenchum and Benchum, talk about the remaining games for week 15 of the NFL season. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Back for the final segment of week 15 of the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Time to talk Trenchum and Benchum. No teams on bye for the remainder of the season. So we'll kick off the noon games. Jack, you've got Dallas and Carolina.
It's important to look for teams that have something to play for. And we might have missed the mark here, but let's remember, Carolina could still win the division. So on the Dallas side of the ball, if CeeDee Lamb's healthy, you got to play him because in spite of being in losing scenarios and not a good team, he has performed in fantasy. Rico Dowdle, I think, is a must-start RB. He's not some big super established running back. He still has to go out and make his money. Cooper Rush, I think Cooper Rush is in the middle of the pack of quarterbacks this week. I don't have him ranked as low as ESPN and all these experts do. I mean, he's had pretty decent little outings, and Carolina's a team you can score on. I like him to get, 15 fantasy points, and that's more than almost anyone on my team scores. So, he's like a QB1 for me. Ferguson at tight end and tight end mandatory only. I would start Aubrey. I wouldn't mind I'd probably bench the Dallas defense. I mean, they just haven't looked good, and now that they got their boy out, I just don't know that it's going to go well for them. On to the Carolina side of the ball, and this is a hard one to pick the winner. I might actually take Carolina, but Chuba Hubbard must start. Bryce Young, I think you can start Bryce Young. I think he's just slightly ahead of Cooper Rush, so I'd put him at like quarterback 14, 15 this week. Adam Thielen in a sexy flexi or a PPR league. My boy Xavier Leggett, known as the what's somebody call him? I can't remember. He's got some fun nicknames going on, but anyways,
Carolina Canary Tony.
There you go, the Carolina. Yeah. Carolina Kadarius Toney. So, yeah, I mean, just I love him to death, man. I don't like him for fantasy so much, but I like him as a player and everything. But if you're going to start him, this is the week as a low WR3 or maybe sexy flexi. I don't go any farther than that. I don't like either defense or either kicker. Carolina to win in a game that shouldn't matter, but ultimately probably will. And they may win the NFC South because the world is upside down.
Chance of rain in the forecast, and Carolina favored by 2.5 points. Kansas City taking on Cleveland. Lyle?
Yeah, you got two quarterbacks who used to like throwing the ball all over the field. Patrick Mahomes doesn't do that quite as much. I thought last week he was going to keep doing what he had been doing and get you those 20 fantasy points. He got 13 last week. So this is where Mahomes is for the year. He's technically, what, quarterback, I don't know, in the teens somewhere. And the last
11 or 12.
Yeah, so here's the breakdown last 6 weeks since Jameis has been back. Mahomes is quarterback 4, 11, 17, 2, 19, and 17. Jameis is 10, 21, 8, 18, 1, and 12.
My man.
They're about the same. So I guess Mahomes is probably a back-end starter, probably top 10, top 12 guy, but that's about all you can hope for. Travis Kelce's a must-play each and every week, of course. Isaiah Pacheco, I think he got to 14 touches last week, so he's probably a safe RB2 this week. And that probably means Kareem Hunt is no longer a viable option for you anymore. DeAndre Hopkins is going to get you double digits. If you're asking for 20-plus points, that's probably too much. I'd probably slot him in as a wide receiver 3. And Xavier Worthy, I've not really been a big fan of him all year, but he has had, I think, 11 fantasy points per game in the last four. You could do worse than him as a sexy flexi. And Noah Gray in a tight end mandatory for some reason, and you're really banged up. I could put him in a pinch. As for Cleveland, I guess you are going to play Jameis. I mean, he is top 12 since he's been in the lineup. I think you got to play him. I think you're playing Jerry Jeudy because he's the hottest receiver in fantasy, outside maybe Puka Nacua. Cedric Tillman's coming back, I think, this week. Questionable with a concussion. He's missed the last two games. Just based on volume alone, I think you got to play him if he is suiting up. I'm benching Nick Chubb, and that's hard to do because running backs who get 8, 10, 12 catch or touches usually get played, but Chubb has just been terrible lately. If Cedric Tillman's out, I do like Elijah Moore as a dart throw, sexy flexi. And definitely make sure you're checking that lineup on Sunday to make sure that David Njoku is officially inactive or active before you make a decision on him.
Congratulations goes out to Kadarius Toney, signed by the Browns and up against the Steelers, down by multiple scores, got called for taunting after a fair catch on a punt, and then promptly muffed the next punt and was cut by the Browns. Way to go, Kadarius. The Chiefs are favored by 4.5 points, and rain will happen in this game. Miami.
John. Yeah. They have not beat anyone by 4.5 points. There's no chance they beat the Cleveland offense by 4.5. No chance.
I agree with you on that. Miami and Houston, Justin.
So here's another game with a fairly high over-under, meaning we're going to have a lot of starts because they both have some superstars. We'll start on the Houston side of the ball. C.J. Stroud, it's hard. It's hard to go with him this week. I'm still not. If you've been rolling with somebody else, you've probably been right to continue going with that other option. So I'm still not on the C.J. Stroud train yet for fantasy, especially going into the playoffs. Hopefully you have a better option. Nico Collins, I do. He's been solid, and I do think he's kind of due this week for a big game. Like Joe Mixon, the matchup is great there. Miami is not, you know, they're not the best run defense. Plus, Mixon's been elite this season. So he's going in my lineup. And that's it on the Houston side of the ball. I'm going to stay away from the defense for sure. Miami side, Tua, Tyreek, you got to get Waddle in there. Janu as well. Last week was scary, but he still got it done regardless of how. He still got it, you know. Did it all in overtime, but he got you double-digit points yet again. Devin Achane, absolutely in the trenches. And that is it. I'm not going to mess with Mostert. We're talking playoffs right now or even toilet bowls. So you're playing for something. Stay away from those guys that you've been staying away from all season.
Houston is favored by 2.5 points. I am blessed to be able to break down the New York Jets-Jacksonville game. If Aaron Rodgers was ever going to have a big game, it's got to be this one against Jacksonville's porous defense. But I think he's a super flex play only. Keep an eye on Breece Hall. I honestly think they're shutting him down for the rest of this season, which leaves Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, who both had, I wouldn't say RB1 type games, but I think you could throw either one of those guys in as a flex. Garrett Wilson, you're starting him. Davante Adams, you're starting him. And that's the end of it. I'm not ready for Lazard or Conklin or any of those guys. Over to Jacksonville's side. you know, you can also think about starting the Jets defense, which hasn't been that good. But the reason why you could start him this week is Mac Jones is starting for Jacksonville. For whatever reason, Travis Etienne is really no longer a thing. Tank Bigsby might be a flex this week against the Jets. And the only pass catcher you want on this team is Brian Thomas Jr. He had 12 targets last week and 8 catches. And I don't think he has had over 100 yards, but if you're in a PPR format, that's 16 points, 8 for 60 or whatever it is. So you can throw him out there as a flex. And the Jets are favored by 3.5 points. Jack, you get Washington and New Orleans.
Yeah, this should actually be a pretty fun game to watch. I got Jaden Daniels in the trenches for sure. He's a QB1. Robinson Jr., he's an RB1. He's had so many health issues and not finished so many games that you have to just take that into consideration with what else is on your bench. But you probably don't have a lot of better options in a cup, you know, in a 2RB league or whatever. So I'm going to put him in the trenches. McLaurin is a WR1. Zach Ertz, tight end mandatory, no problem there. I even like the kicker. I don't mind the defense. I like a lot of things happening on the Washington side of the ball. On to the New Orleans side of the ball. So Kamara, questionable. Plus, he knows they're not in this. They have no quarterback. They're starting, I don't even know how you say it, Jake Haener? Yep. Haener?
Jake Haener.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that Kamara, you have to value him as a sexy flexy and not an RB1. Doesn't mean he won't tee off and this, that, and the other. I just don't know where the motivation's coming in for this team. And it ain't going to be their paychecks. That's not how you motivate these guys. MVS, I've dropped him in every league. I think without Derek Carr under center, there's no reason to have a big play guy out there. And if it's tight end mandatory and you've got some rookie quarterback, then Johnson's the only tight end kind of left on the roster that's worth it. I don't think Moreau's worth it. So, but again, carrying questionable tags. So, John, I've got Kamara at a sexy flexy value and put him in the RB spot. That's the only real start I have in New Orleans. I don't like them to do anything. I don't know how they take the field, to be honest with you, at this point.
Yeah, Vegas doesn't like them either. Washington favored by 7.5. Lyle, Baltimore and the Giants.
Yeah, we've talked about this Baltimore team that, you know, it's such a big spread. So, you know, don't overthink this one, right? You're still playing your good Baltimore players. I don't think you can just bench them just because you're only expecting half a game out of your Ravens. Lamar Jackson's quarterback won. His low for the season is 14 fantasy points, so I think that's a pretty good floor. You're playing him. Derrick Henry's RB2 overall for the season. He's scored touchdowns in all but the last two games, so I think that's like almost a lock that he's going to find the end zone at least once to keep him in the trenches. And Zay Flowers still belongs in the trenches. He's a boom-bust wide receiver, too. The upside's there for him to have a big game, though, so I keep him in your lineup. I even like Mark Andrews in tight end mandatory. He's up to tight end 9 in our Loon League, so he's more touchdown dependent than PPR play. And definitely playing that defense, who's probably the number one defense in the league this week. I could even maybe make a case for a little bit of Justice Hill in a PPR setup just because he gets some second half passing work. Other than that, though, you're looking at the Giants. You're only making two plays here. It's Malik Nabers, volume-based play only, especially in a PPR setup. I think he's a wide receiver 3. And Tyrone Tracy, he's played, I think, 9 games now since he's kind of gotten the starting role. He's averaged 14 fantasy points per game, even with this bad Giants team. So I think he would be a good running back 2 or maybe a sexy flexy this week. No other Giants, though. Don't touch any other Giants.
Get this. Baltimore favored by 16.5. Haven't read a spread that large in a long time. Cincinnati, Tennessee, Justin.
Okay. It's going to be pretty straightforward. Two really bad defenses, two teams that are still playing for something, more so the Bengals. But Titans, these players are playing for contracts still. So on the Cincinnati side, Joe Burrow in the lineup, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Don't be scared by last week. Don't overthink it. T. Higgins is still great. If anything, he's more due. He's in the lineup. And then Brown is in RB1. He's really had himself a nice season. He's a guy a lot of people bet on. If you're one of them, congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. It was a great call. He's in your lineup this week as well. That's it on the Cincinnati side. I'm not going to mess with the defense either. But on the Tennessee side of the ball, Tony Pollard
had a good season. He's just been steady. He's in there RB2 as well. You can kind of bank on him for 12 to 15. You know, he hasn't had any real big games. This is a defense where he could break out for a 20-plusser very easily, maybe a couple touchdowns. So he's in the lineup. Calvin Ridley, I'm trenching him as well, and that is it. It's not because he got almost nothing last week, but Westbrook, Ekine, however you say it, that's just his MO is low receptions, but you're open for touchdowns. I'm not gambling with that this week in the playoffs unless you're a massive underdog that's somehow backed in or squeaked in or ravaged by injuries at the end. But short of that, he's not in anyone's lineup, and that's it.
Rain likely, Cincinnati favored by 4.5. I've got New England, Arizona kicking off the late afternoon games. Well, talked about him a little bit earlier. I'm a Drake May fan. He gets it done with his legs, and he's coming around with his arm. I like him against this Arizona defense to get you some, I don't know, I think he's a 15-point play this week, and I think he's going to do a lot of it with his legs. I like Ramondre Stevenson as an RB2 this week or a flex. Kayshon Booty isn't a thing really anymore. Kendrick Bourne, Demario Douglas, not no thanks. The guy May is throwing the ball to is Hunter Henry, and you got to figure out how to get him in your lineup, especially tight end mandatory. I think he might even be a flex play if you don't have to start a tight end. Over to Arizona, I like Kyler this week. James Conner has just been a workhorse the entire season, and I hope those of you who manage Conner also have Trey Benson for the playoff run. Marvin Harrison Jr., flex play. Trey McBride, certainly in your lineups. I'm just not big on Mike Wilson or Greg Dortch. I was big on Dortch in the preseason, and that's just turned into a total dumpster fire. So nothing too good there, and that's the second bad game I get to break down. Arizona favored by 6.5. Jack, back to you. Indianapolis taking on Denver.
Yeah, so this is not really a good-looking game. I don't like the Indianapolis side of the ball here at all going to Mile High Stadium. For me, I've got Anthony Richardson on the bench. He's had a couple of good games where he's had about 10 rushing attempts in his last three games. But when he plays a good defense, he really falls behind. And Bo Nix can throw the points up on you real quick. So I think you've got way better options with much, much higher floors and the same ceiling as Anthony Richardson. So he's on the bench. Jonathan Taylor as an RB2. And really, the rest of the receivers, Pittman, Downs, Pierce, and kind of in the order of Downs, Pittman, Pierce is my 1-2-3. But they would all be sexy flexy options at best. I don't like any of them because the Denver defense is just that legit. Onto the Denver side of the ball, pretty much starting them all. Bo Nix, I've got him in. Cordell Sutton, WR1. Williams is an RB2 at best. They just haven't had great RB play. I think they finally had a 100-yard rusher for the first time last week or the week before. So. And then he's been really good at spreading the ball out between Mims and Bell, Franklin. You know, you've seen some different guys get a couple of looks here and there. But when it comes to scoring points in fantasy and in the playoffs here, Sutton's the only real WR starter there. So not a lot of starts here outside of Bo Nix and Sutton and Jonathan Taylor. So maybe four total starts in this game. Oh, and the defense for sure.
Denver favored by 3.5 points. Lyle, you get what is shaping up to be the game of the year, Buffalo-Detroit.
Yeah, lots of fantasy action here, too. I mean, high-scoring game is expected, and it probably won't disappoint. Starting with Josh Allen, I mean, he's probably the MVP of the league. You're playing him. James Cook, coming off that four-point game last week, I'm sure there's some fantasy owners who are a little bummed with that, considering they scored 42. But he's an RB2 for the overall season. I think it was just a one-week blip. Keep him in your lineup. I like Khalil Shakir. He's up to number 23 overall in PPR formats. You're playing him as a wide receiver, too, especially with all the points that are expected. I'm a little less excited about playing Amari Cooper. He's been pretty up and down even since the trade. He's been injured. I like Amari Cooper as a sexy flexi. I'd take him over Keon Coleman, who is expected back for the first time since 9. So, again, if I had him in order, I'd do a Shakir, Cooper, then Coleman, definitely on the bottom of that list. And I'm going to keep Dalton Kincaid on the bench as well. It looks like he's coming back for the first time since week 10. He's just tight end 26 overall for the season. He's been one of the more disappointing players in fantasy this year, so I'm keeping him on the bench. As for Detroit, you're playing all your Lions. I think even Jared Goff, who's been pretty up and down, and I think is quarterback 8. I think I'm playing him. You're definitely playing Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, who are both running back 1s. Same with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a must start. I think you even play Jameson Williams this week. I know he's more boom bust, but he's had double digits 3 of the last 4 weeks. So play Jameson Williams. But I am going to keep Sam Laporta on the bench as well as Tim Patrick, who had a bust out week last week. And both defenses belong on the bench as well.
Detroit favored by 2.5 points at home, over under 54.5.
You got to get Laporta in that lineup, I think. Just throwing that out there.
I think there's 12 better. There have been all year.
Well, we're going to have to go to overtime here on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and you can catch us on our app or online at 941theloon.com. If you did miss any part of today's show, you can get the rest of it there as well. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas, and for Jack, Justin, and Lyle, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday at 10, and we'll see you in overtime for the Fantasy Football Foursome.